This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you there, and thank you, Dave, for the introduction here at the Christian War Room. You're listening to the Christian War Room, and we are looking at seven types of deception to recognize and what you can do about it. I think it's very important we called out on deception method number one and two, and how to recognize deceptive preachers, false preachers, false prophets. And the Bible is full of warnings of them, and we need to make sure that we can identify them and protect ourselves. In the end, we are talking about our salvation. We're talking about our eternal life. And also, if we fall prey to deceivers, it renders us unfruitful for the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that we should first seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these other things, like what these guys tell to promise us, you know, like, you know, what we shall wear, what we shall eat, what we're going to do tomorrow, how are we going to survive, all these things will be added unto us. Yeah. So our concern should predominantly about the kingdom of God. But obviously, we need to work, we need to make a living. And Paul is very clear about this in the New Testament. You know, whoever is not willing to work should not eat. Quite clear. We shouldn't be busybodies, but we should be productive, leading productive, good lives in the Lord. And but at the same time, you know, put our emphasis and our efforts on seeking the kingdom of God. We were looking at two aspects the last time in our Christian War Room talk, and one of them was self-promotion, where people just put themselves right to the front, and it's all about them. So you've got like the star minister, and if you go to a church where you've got like the person, you know, the guy, the woman, whatever it is, yeah, you have to sort of take it with a pinch of salt, yeah. And sometimes, I mean, to be fair, you know, you've got good ministers, they've been raised by God, and they've been put in position, and they're right there at the top, and people are the problem, not the ministers themselves. So people put them on a pedestal. They don't put themselves on a pedestal themselves, the ministers. And it's very important to recognize what's going on. But there are ministers who do this, and I've seen this. Yeah, I'm a sucker for Christian radio and Christian television and so on. Whenever it's on, I try to tune in, I watch it. And on one stage here in England, we had 17, on satellite television, 17, I think that's what I counted, Christian TV stations. And the majority of them were just an embarrassment to Christianity. And there's no other way to say this. They were just an embarrassment. If this is Christianity, then I don't want to be part of it. For a lot of this, the channels which are out there. It was all about prosperity, crazy miracles, crazy people, give me your money and you'll be rich, and a bit like that. And a lot of it was going on. It wasn't about the true word of God. It wasn't about gospel proclamation. Some of it was. You got some good programs on there, and there were one or two channels who were achieving a little bit of quality and sanity. Yeah? But a lot of it was just crazy. It was just downright crazy. And I think the important thing is what we need to do is we need to fight. Yeah? We need to seek to do the right thing. We need to seek to reach out with the gospel. We know we're going to get persecuted. We know we're going to get hated. The world is not going to like us. They're going to hate us for it. They think we are a bunch of idiots anyway. And that is just part and parcel of it. But it's our job. It's our job as long as we breathe, as long as we walk here on earth. Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all of creation. That's what we need to do. We need to get out there, and we need to get the gospel out in one way or another. Okay, so we looked at two aspects, self-promotion and popularity. You know, that's what these guys are all about. And when you find this, when you see people promoting themselves, you know, to be the bee's knees, and they've got like the 57 books to sort out your life, and it's just their books, not somebody else's books. You've got, you know, the popularity thing. You know, it's all about them. It's all about the way they appear. And I was talking to you about this guy who, I saw a video, a pastor, and it's actually quite shocking. Personally, I believe when I was praying about this guy, I think he was probably genuine, but he just got sidetracked. He just got into bad doctrine, and the bad doctrine screwed him up, screwed him over. And I'm not sure what this courtroom is all about. It's a big ministry. It's allegedly a famous black minister. I didn't know this guy, to be fair. Never seen him, never heard of him. But apparently he's quite famous. He certainly is rich. He certainly lives like a king. But I think he just got deceived and he fell for it. And it looks like he's now on his fall down. And maybe it's a good thing for him as well. I mean, we have to look at everything that happens in our life from an eternal perspective. Sometimes when we are high on the mountain, everything seems to be, you know, glorious and all the rest of it, but in God's sight, it may not be necessarily so. And if that is the case, then sometimes we need to come down from the mountain and we need to hit the valley of tribulation and persecution and hardship, adversity, to try to get us back on track, you know, to refocus ourselves on the living God and to look for our salvation from Him and not from the little empire we have built for ourselves. The temptation is there. I've got this temptation myself. I've had times where I was very rich and money was not a problem, was not an issue. I've had times where I was very poor, where the next meal became a big issue. So I know a little bit of both sides of the coin when you live in this. And both sides are not very pleasant, you know. When you live like a pauper, it's very, very difficult. But also when you have a lot of money and you don't have to worry about things and you can travel around and do lots of stuff, very often your focus is just drawn away from God. And it's just with all the little trinkets and all the stuff that's around you. And I've seen it myself, how it can get to you. There's an interesting scripture in Proverbs as well, where I think it's King Agur, he prays and he says that he doesn't want to be rich, you know. He prays to God not to be made rich so that he will become proud in his heart and say, who is God? And on the other side, that he will not become poor so that he will steal because he's hungry and in this way dishonor the name of God, but somewhere sort of in the middle. And I think that should be our desire as well, as far as wealth and fortune goes. Okay, let's move on with this. We have got, I made some notes here, and I can't, I was just saying I can't read my notes because my handwriting is atrocious, but this is the one, it's disobedience, yeah? Disobedience, you know, Jesus said that if you love me, you will abide by my words, you will obey me, you will walk in my ways. And that's one way how you can find out whether the leaders you follow are actually of Christ or maybe not. What is their lifestyle all about? What is their lifestyle all about? How do they live? You know, are they obedient to the word of God? Are they following in the path? Now, you have to bear one thing in mind, and that is that we all fail. I'm not saying that these people are perfect or sinless. So if you've got a leader in church, that this leader is impeccable, you know, never does anything wrong. But there should be a signature in their lives, and this signature should sort of see whether these guys are actually following what Jesus is saying. I mean, I'll give you a very simple example. The biggest commandments is to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And then likewise to love your neighbor as yourself. And one way you can sort of find out what people are really all about, and I think John, he sums it all up in this one command. When you read through the letters of John, it's all about love. You know, is there love in their lives? Is there love in their lives? I have to think about one ministry. Again, big ministry. If I tell you the name, everybody will know the name. I'm not going to mention it on here. The guy, you know, is a couple. They've got an empire. You know, they preach an awful lot, and the whole empire, the whole preaching is sort of pretty much divvied up amongst their family. And they are big names, you know, and they do the little tours, they go all over the place, they hire some pastors to pretty much endorse what they are doing. And I listened to a talk from one of the employees they had, and they sort of open up what was happening on the inside of this ministry. And basically you had these people, you know, those great preachers, everybody looks on them, and they sit on top of this empire. And they've got printing presses, they've got condominiums, like apartment complexes where the employees are living. They've got this church, they've got a TV ministry, they sell their books, they've even got a special Bible with all the commentaries in and all the rest of it. And she was saying that it was really difficult once you were inside. So the people on the top were very aloof, they would never talk to anybody below them. It was sort of a very... You know, fearful environment. The employees were living in the ministry condominiums or apartments, and so if they didn't walk the line or they did something the top brass didn't agree with, they were pretty much jobless and homeless within a day. Yeah, and they all knew this, and so people were walking by the line, and so they had a huge amount of control over the people working for them. When you sort of look inside, you know, there was no kindness or goodness towards the employees. They were all treated like a bunch of, like a little army of slaves. I understand, you know, if you run a business, it's very difficult. It's hard to, you know, every day you've got, every month you've got X amount of money you need to pay. And it's difficult. You have to get the money, you have to find it. There's a lot of pressure. And if you can't make the money, you go in debt, and that's not good either. And so there are a lot of pressures when you run a business, but nevertheless, you know, if you are, you know, the boss, the king, whatever you want to call it, of this little empire, where's the love? Yeah. Is it still there? And obviously it wasn't there. You know, these people were aloof. They were doing a lot of corrupt things. They were doing, using ministry facilities for, you know, secular business activities. There was a lot of very crazy stuff going on. People were not treated very well. And it pretty much shows you what this ministry is all about. Yeah. Are these guys walking in obedience to Christ? And when you sort of just take what John is saying, just the little command about love, all you can see, no, it's not the case. Yeah. They're just some rulers, some maybe to some extent tyrannical rulers. I mean, obviously they're not torturing people, but they're pretty much controlling them and keeping their control on them. So do they follow Christ? That is the thing. It's a hatred in their lives, yeah. You know, and that's a very interesting thing. Lots of people have got hatred. They're driven, they're controlled by hatred. And you can very often assess people by the amount of hatred they've got in their life. Now, if you're a Christian, I mean, we are against the LGBT movement, yeah, as Christians, as born-again Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, as faithful Christians. We don't endorse it. We are against gay marriage. We say this is wrong. It's not right. You know, it's damaging to people. Why? Because the Bible says so. Do we hate gays? Do we hate people who are transgender or who choose to live as a transvestite or anything like that? No, we are not. Yeah. We love them. We're still with them. If they come to us, we'll give them something to eat if they're hungry. If they need help, we'll help them. Yeah. If they want to come to us and become Christians, we'll open our arms. All we are saying is abandon your lifestyle that is not according to the Word of God. Yeah. That's all we are saying. It's pretty much the same thing. If I want to join, let me use this example. If I want to join the Democratic Party in America, yeah, I can't run around with the Trump hat, you know, "Make America Great Again," at a Democratic Party convention as a Democratic Party member. Yeah. It's very, very clear. There are certain things you cannot do, and it's the same as well. Now, the world says this is all hate speech. You know, we are ignorant, we are bigots, we don't understand. Science says this and science says that, and it doesn't really. It's just a lot of flawed professors who come up with one idea or another idea. And there's a lot of evidence to the opposite as well. But that is really love. You know, we should be, as Christians, loving people. And it's one of the main commands of Christ. Pretty much everything is summed up in that one. Okay, what's the time doing? We are carrying on. We have to go to number four now. Number four. And number four is lying signs of wonders. You know? And again, this is a lot what is happening today. What I sometimes like to do is when I go through London and I visit some friends and I go through some of the estates in London, you see like little churches propping up all over the place. And mostly tend to be African churches. And whenever you see these churches, you can pretty much recognize them straight away from their name. And it's every time it's about miracles, wonders, power, prosperity, blessing, glory, something like that. Yeah. You never have the humble church of Christ or the church of persecution or the church of just a church. Yeah, you don't see this. You always have to have some of these terms in there. And so they pray for miracles, and it's all about the power of God and miracles and so on. Now, I believe in miracles. Yeah, it's no question about it. I've I've received healing in my own body. I've prayed for other people and they got healed. Yeah. So I totally believe in that. It's not a problem, but it's not something to be paraded about. Jesus never paraded it about. You know, a genuine miracle, you know, speaks for itself. I don't need to, you know, call the crowd and then pray for somebody and that person gets healed and then look at me, how wonderful I am. No, if somebody is ill, you just go, you pray, and you trust in the power of God to be released through your prayer. And that person will be healed. And if there's sin in that person's life, the sin needs to be confessed. And the person can do this, you know, just coming to God and confessing his or her sin. Can do it to you or to somebody else. It's not a problem, but you need to deal with whatever the issue is. And very often the issue is spiritual. Sometimes, you know, the issue is to do with sin. And it's not a problem. We are all sinners. And this is one of the things we need to recognize. All of us are sinners. And all of us need to repent on a daily basis. And then very often, whatever is holding us, whatever power is trying to drag us down is broken and, you know, healing can come in. And sometimes it's supernatural. I mean, I've heard stories for, you know, friends of mine who were drug addicts. And they did all sorts of stuff and they couldn't get off of it. And then one night they just had this super spiritual, you know, supernatural experience. And they were set free. They were set free. They were set free from their addictions, from their illnesses, from whatever they had. And this is amazing when you experience this and when this gets into your life. What do we see today? I mean, I look at some of these crusades, you know, and I see some of these guys, you know, dressed in white, and they come on the stage, and you can see this guy, he looks different to all the other guys. And you see this proud, arrogant person, you know, just coming across, doing a little bit of the sentimental stuff and having a show. And then he starts praying and then people come on the stage, the screeners look at them, and then he has got his little coat and he waves it around and people fall all over the place. Then he blows on them and they fall all over the place. And there's this big show and everybody say, this is a great power of God. No, I want to encourage you to go back to the Bible. Look at the New Testament. Did Jesus ever blow on a crowd and they fell over? He did it once when they tried to arrest him. Yeah, they tried to arrest him and they just fell over and he walked away. But he didn't do it to his disciples. No, there was a quiet voice in the desert, yeah, talking to people. There was somebody talking in riddles to people. When people were in need, you know, and they were seeking his healing, he would come and heal them. And he would always rebuke them and say, don't tell anybody. Show yourselves to the priest and make sure, you know, you are clean, when it was like leprosy or something. Yeah. You follow the law, do what is right. And that is what he was saying. And this is the same way we should approach it. We should pray for people and say, look, if you think you are healed, if you think God has touched you, that's all we should say. Go to the doctors, let them check you out, and then take it from there. Yeah, that's what we should say. And this is pretty much following the biblical principle as well. Trust God that the healing will take place. Be brave, courageous, and pray for people. If they seek healing, you know, approach them on the behalf of God. Be their intercessor and fight it through with them. And maybe they will get healed. Maybe not. Maybe it's a time to go home. Maybe it's just a time to, you know, to break through. And it's interesting as well, when you listen to people who have experienced healing, some of them had to wait for it for years and they knew it was going to take some time. In one instance, you know, a woman had a massive operation on their spine and it could have resulted in her being permanently paralyzed. But she had to do it because her life had no quality. And she was just talking to, you know, before the operation came, she was praying with the pastor. And that night she was healed. When she walked to the hospital, she was fine. They checked her out. Everything was okay. The operation was not necessary. People were bamboozled. But it took all this time. It took years to come to this point. And sometimes we don't know why healing doesn't take place straight away. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But there are real signs and wonders, you know, when people get healed, when people find that they've got the power of God released in their lives. And they're not just lying wonders where people just fall over and they get slain in the spirit. Again, where is it in the Bible? Where is it in the Bible? Where do we find this? Where do we find this? The enemies of Christ, they were slain in the spirit, if you use this terminology, who wanted to arrest him, but We don't find any precedents in the Bible. So, my friends, I would encourage you to be careful, you know, to be careful what you see and what you find, and to be discerning, to just pray about it. You know, should you follow these guys? Are they real? Are they fake? You know, what are they doing? Are we to parade a miracle crusade? And the answer is clearly no, we are not. Are we praying? Are we supposed to pray for people? Yes, we are. Are we supposed to pray for people who are sick to get healed? Yes, we are, and we do it. But we don't make a big show out of it. We don't have to, because we are serving a holy God. We're not serving a roadshow or some theater. The glory always has to point to God, not to some individual. If the individual goes to town in his white suit, that's not the story. The story is that ordinary people like you and me, you know, who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they pray for people and people get healed. A child prays for some sick person and God listens to the child and the person gets healed. Some nobody prays for somebody and the somebody gets healed. That is a gospel. The gospel is not that there are these select few who run the show and make millions in the course of it. We need to get this straight as a church, and we need to also be courageous to stand up and to not leave it to these guys. You know, the gospel doesn't own to them. The gospel has been preached to all of us. The gifting of the Spirit is not just to a select few. The gifting of the Spirit is available to all of us. And some of us have got giftings in certain areas. And some people, they can just pray for the sick and it just works. You know, people get healed. So let them do it and let them excel in their gifting. And don't leave it to some people who have got at best a very dubious record of exercising some sort of gifting, which is not necessarily what the Bible tells us it should be. And I just leave it at this point. Yeah, I don't want to take it any further, and I leave it to your own discernment, and I leave it to you to just seek God about it. You know, don't assume because somebody has got thousands of people following. If somebody comes to town, there will be thousands of people walking into this, you know, auditorium, wherever that person is, that it is of God. But pray about it and seek God about it, and then make up your mind. And the most important thing is compare with whatever you see with the Bible. And I'm not a cessationist. I totally believe that this is working. If you need healing, do it the biblical way. Call the elders in the church. Yeah, they'll pray for you, anoint you with oil, pray for you, and you will be healed. Yeah. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Let's move on. We've got number five. Number five is materialism. Number five is materialism. And very often these guys are very materialistic. Very materialistic. It's all about money. And you find this. Yeah, you get these people just talking about money, 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 money. God wants you to have money, and the key for you to have money is to give them money. It's not to give money to the poor. It's not to give money to, you know, the person down the road, the widow, you know, who is struggling to pay the bills or whatever. But you need to give your money to the ministry. And again, you know, if you've got a pile of money for your living, very often you can take some of it off and you can give it to somebody. These guys tell them to give it to them. And again, this is very, very problematic. Don't do this. Yeah. Pray about your giving, and also, you know, pray about giving is very important. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in giving, and we need to be giving people. But it is important also that we give in the right way. Don't give your money to people who are not preaching the gospel. Don't give your money to people who are, on the contrary, just preaching a fake gospel, a gospel that is not found in the Bible. There's nothing like the prosperity gospel. The whole seed thing is a misconstruction. Yeah. When Paul talks about, you know, sowing seeds, and he refers it to money, he doesn't talk about a financial reward. You can see this out of the context, and it's in 2 Corinthians when you know, if you pick this up. Just go BibleGateway.com on your iPhone or whatever, and type in seed, yeah? And you find some scriptures in 2 Corinthians. If you read it in context, he's not talking about earthly blessings. He's talking about spiritual blessings. And there is something to it, you know. If giving is a very important thing. Yeah, it'll change you. If you give, your heart is going to be, your treasure is going to be somewhere else. It's not going to be focused on yourself. And it's very important to do this. And all of us, we should be giving people, and we should be even giving to a point that it's becoming inconvenient and painful to us. Obviously, not endangering our kids, wives, family, husbands, or whatever. You know? We should make sure that everybody's taken care of. But we should also be prepared to give and to help out wherever we can. I'm just looking at the time. We've got two more points, and I'm going to stick them in. One of them is the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The fruit of the Spirit, we've got the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Take some time, go to Galatians chapter 5, and you can read them all. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, hope, peace, contentment, and so on. So all these things are kind of listed, and that is something you should find in somebody's life. If somebody's following Christ for many years, these qualities should slowly, you know, develop more and more. The first people were called Christians because they were like Christ. Christ was seen as somebody who was very benevolent, very kind, very helpful, very good. And there was something special about him. And they could see this characteristic in these people. And that's why the first people were called Christians. And how much have we got left? We've got about 1 minute left. And this is point number seven. We've got false prophets, teachers, and they spread crazy ideas, crazy doctrine. And very often it's a new doctrine. It's a new emphasis, a new thing which comes out. If somebody comes out with a new doctrine, a new idea, which wasn't there before, you can most likely assume that this is a cult, that this is wrong. We always need to go back to the Bible. It's not very hard to understand the Bible. It's not very hard to understand it within context, but you always need to go back. You need to read the Bible, you know, with an open mind, guided by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. And you can see very soon through these people, you know, that there's something dramatically wrong with them. So if there's a new fad coming along, don't follow it blindly, but spend some time to just look at it and see, what are these guys really saying? You know, is this real? Is this what, you know, it should be? Is this what this is all about? And compare it to the Bible. There are many tools these days as well where you can, you know, study the Bible very easily, but it's important that you spend it. I would recommend to you, a young Christian, even if you don't understand, to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation with an Elmer nearby. An Elmer is like somebody who's been a Christian for some time. I would suggest to older Christians to read the Bible thematic, yeah, to just go through different points and work it all together. But it's important at least once in your life to read from A to Z to get an overview of what's in there. It takes about a year maybe to go through it, but it's worthwhile of doing it. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you that we have got you to lead us into all truth, that you have sent us the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit has sent us to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and to lead us into truth and to tell us of yourself so that we can understand who you are. I pray, Lord, that you will help us, that you will guide us, that you will lead us, that you will lead us into truth, that you will protect us from false teachers, from error, and that we can, you know, live our lives seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, so that all the other things which we need in our life will be given to us freely by your great provision. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the provision, all the good things you have given to us. I want to thank you for the peace, for the kindness, the goodness. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the good stuff in our lives. I pray, Lord, help us to stay faithful to you and to yield unto you at all times. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.